Welcome to Fulfilled, a podcast focused on applying proven methods for finding fulfillment and hacking happiness. I'm your host, Roger J. Comstock. All right, my friends. Well, welcome back to the Fulfilled Podcast. I am so grateful to have each and every one of you here. It's been a few weeks since we've had the show. I've been on vacation in Texas, and then we got home, and then I went to North Carolina, and it was fun to be out on the beach. But honestly, there is no place like home. I'm just so grateful to be back with kind of back into routines. Me and my sweetheart both said when we got home, just like, there's no place like home, being able to kind of settle back in. Today we've got a really wonderful guest with us. I'm so thankful to have him here. His name is Reed Tileston. He has done some absolutely exceptional things. Just a little bit about him. Reed trains the future entrepreneurial business owners of America. As an adjunct professor at Case Western Reserve University, he teaches entrepreneurship through acquisition, invests in entrepreneurial business owners, is a board member, and is an award-winning paid keynote speaker. Reed co-created the curriculum for the entrepreneurship through acquisition course at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. He lectures at leading academic institutions such as Dartmouth, the University of Chicago, the University of California, and BYU, and serves on the University of Chicago Entrepreneurship through Acquisition Advisory Committee. His expertise is derived from 16 years of successful on-the-ground entrepreneurial business ownership experience, acquiring, opening, growing, and selling four companies in addition to his academic research. Reed achieved a return multiple of invested capital of over 10x on his most recent acquisition and was a top-performing Anytime Fitness franchisee. Reed has worked with leading brands such as Harley-Davidson, the Milwaukee Bucks, John Deere, Tough Mudder, and Microsoft, and has been featured in publications including the Wall Street Journal and Crain's Chicago. Reed is a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley with a bachelor's degree in economics, the University of Chicago School of Business with an MBA in general management and entrepreneurship, and is a doctoral researcher at Case Western, doing a PhD dissertation on entrepreneurship through acquisition, where he presents his research at academic conferences. That's so cool. A couple more things about him: as an Eagle Scout, Ironman, 140.6 distance triathlete, winning endurance athlete, and a graduate of the National Outdoors Leadership School, Reed rejuvenates in the outdoors and is in a perpetual state of planning his next life adventure, which recently entailed racing up the world's tallest staircase in Switzerland, in addition to an around-the-world trip. Reed is well-positioned to help business owners in experiencing the autonomy of entrepreneurial business ownership. So thank you. Thank you. Man, you have accomplished some truly exceptional things. It's such a gift to have you here on the show today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Reed.
Yeah, and I think we got to shorten that bio. It just sounds like so much stuff there, but thanks for taking the time to go through all that stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm just grateful to be here. Happy Friday. You know, the thing that I am most grateful for is that through entrepreneurial business ownership, so buying and selling businesses, being involved in franchising, I've been grateful to be able to have achieved my American dream. And the primary reason that I'm on the podcast today is to engage with your audience about how they can, you know, live their American dream, whatever form that takes, whether it's that you want to, you know, wake up in the morning and go hike in the beautiful Wasatch Mountains here every day, whether it's you want to raise a scholarship fund, whatever that looks like to you. I've been grateful to be able to achieve that through business ownership. And I want to be able to take what I've learned over 16 years of doing this and just share it with as many people as possible, which is where I wrote the book, Grit It Done, available for 99 cents through the end of May. I just go to grititdone.com, where I just talk through a framework and what I've personally done for this. But the area that I want to hit on the most here is that it's a misconception. I think that people buy businesses because they get involved in the small business world because they want to make money and they want to feel, you know, the freedom and autonomy that you can get with entrepreneurial business ownership. And let's be clear, Roger, it's a ton of work. Failure happens. Failure can be costly, especially if you have personal guarantees in the process. But put the financial part of it aside. And in the book, I talk you through the steps to minimize risk, maximize returns. It's all there. What I'm truly grateful for, by a factor of 20-1 over any financial returns, it is just the people that I meet in the process. When I've been able to go all in to these small businesses and invest in, you know, improving the lives of my team members and invest in those relationships and make it fully in the service of them, I have had some of the most fulfilling experiences of my life. And not just when I owned the business or paid people, retention bonuses when I sold it, but even thereafter, right? The best entrepreneurial employees, the best team members I've had still play a very important part of my life to this day. So do it for the money, okay? Do it for the freedom and the flexibility. Fantastic. What I think you're going to find is that the best part for you is going to be the relationships of, for the people that you meet along the way. And I was lucky in my mid-20s. I was already a business owner. I met an individual. He owned a chain of fast casual restaurants in California. I opened up a fitness club in a town where his restaurants were based. And he told me, he said, "Reed, let me tell you something. When you look back at your career 50 years from now," he was in his 70s, I was in my 20s. So the 50-year thing actually made complete sense. He said, "It's not going to be about the money for you. It is going to be about the people that you help along the way." And luckily, I'd experienced a bit of that. So I couldn't just ignore that piece of advice, right? I knew that it was true enough that I couldn't let it go in one ear and out the other, like I can easily do with some pieces of advice. And I've been lucky enough to be obedient and disciplined as I've done that over the years. So I think at its core, I mean, that's what really intrinsically motivates me to have written a book like this and to be able to spread the message about it with so much fervence and passion, is that for me, entrepreneurial business ownership has been how I've been able to cultivate meaningful relationships and been able to help people. And I think there's no higher calling than that for me personally in life. And I'm just grateful that I found business ownership as being a conduit to do that.
I love that, Reed. Thanks so much for sharing. I really, really appreciate that. Do you feel like gratitude, growth, or giving have positively impacted kind of your success and where you're at? And if so, how has that been? I know before the show, you're kind of chatting for a little bit, and you said that people and relationships are kind of at the foundation of everything that you're doing. And you had told me that it's not all about the money, which I loved to hear. I feel the same way. I feel like money's kind of this byproduct, but the relationships that we enjoy and the opportunities that the relationships kind of allow us to take part in are the best part of business. And so what have those things, gratitude, growth, and giving, kind of played in your success so far?
The way they played in the success, and listen, it's a two-edged sword. And I love listening to your previous episodes and just kind of talking to some guys, because I don't actually have like the gratitude thing done correctly. And I listen to, people like, Andrew Huberman or others that talk about the right way to do it. I just know that when I'm grateful, I can feel my heart rate slow down. I can feel myself present in the moment, and I can feel a sense of belonging. I feel a sense of joy and a sense of purpose that I have not found a way to ever replicate that. But it's difficult because it's a dialectic, right? I have this intrinsic drive to achieve. And I attribute that to the people that I surround myself with. I was given a good childhood. I've been around ambitious people, and I'm always grateful for being around other ambitious people because they just push me to want to do more, right? So I balance this need to achieve versus being grateful. And it's a dialectic. It goes back and forth because, sometimes I think that being grateful is going to diminish my generative drive. Yet gratefulness and the relationships are what I do it for. So I struggle to think through what that framework is, but the best thing that I have come up with to do it is that every night you'll find that I'm a creature of habit. I love, James Clear, Atomic Habits. I'm a creature of habit, both the good ones and the bad ones. But every night before I go to bed, among other things, I just make myself write down something that I'm grateful for, but I don't just transactionally write it down. I actually take, 45 seconds to a minute to visualize it, right? And visualize usually the person that's behind that gratefulness and think about them and try to have more of that connection, because everything that I have ever done that's worthwhile on paper has actually always been driven at its core by the person that was on the other side of it. So for example, when I was at business school at Chicago Booth, it was right when they were launching some of this curriculum about, buying and selling Main Street businesses as a path to be an entrepreneur. And I got to be the teaching assistant, Roger, for the first class on it, which was a ton of work. It was like 40 hours a week for four people, two adjuncts and two TAs. But it was such a transformational experience because of the relationship that we created that I told myself, you know what? I'd been a bit successful at that point in my life, but you know, there's more I wanted to do. So I'm like, when I go out and I'm inspired to go out and really do something special, so I can go back and I can teach a class just like these individuals did. So it's really like, when I think about what's the drive to stay up late or to work hard, it's because of the positive impact that those two professors had on me. And now it's my generative drive to go out and teach this stuff, you know, as an adjunct professor, to write a book about it, to talk to people about it, to teach courses on it. It's because all the inspiration really comes from them. So the big piece of guidance, I think, I mean, for what it's worth, the 2 cents that my opinion is worth anything, right, is that, you know, surround yourself with people, with the right people that you aspire to be like, because whether you want to or not, you're going to end up being like them. And those resonant relationships can be game changers in life and really push individuals to do things that they may not even have thought was possible. So to me, it's all about the people.
Love that, man. I really appreciate that comment. That's important, I think, for anybody that's looking to kind of level up their life or get into the world of entrepreneurship, to understand that it's kind of like Dale Carnegie, the whole idea of like how to win friends and influence people. People are the most important aspect of business, and building real relationships with other individuals that we have the privilege to interact with, and life, business, whatever it is, it's just, it's kind of the meat of life. It's what makes us tick, right? Internally, if we were to boil down what's most important, I think anybody I would ask, you know, they would, if they thought about it long enough, would recognize that it is in a relationship. So that's really cool. Thank you for sharing. In your opinion, how would an individual begin to create the lifestyle that you've been able to build, where you've acquired businesses and sold them? Where would somebody get started with something like that?
Yeah, I outlined the 9 steps that worked for me in the book. The first most important step, though, is assessment. In order to have the lifestyle that you desire, you actually have to know what the lifestyle that you desire is. Go deep, take the time, don't procrastinate on it, but run towards it. Take the time of figuring out what life you actually aspire to lead. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that, hey, I need to make $10 million off this endeavor, or you need to make $1 million off it. It could be things about, you know, geography, right? How much money I want to make, how hard you're willing to work, all that good stuff. Are you willing to sign a personal guarantee? Like, think through what it is that you want to accomplish and how are you going to accomplish it, and then have the criteria. So doing that assessment early on in the process is critical. It's also, by the way, in my opinion, the hardest part of the process.
I agree. Because
It's, and it's work that's really easy to procrastinate. I mean, it's like it's the ultimate example of like Stephen Covey, quadrant 2 work, right? It's like really important, but it's not urgent to do. So it's easy. It's easy to put it off. But Roger, one, you know, distinction to make in the world of, you know, what we'll call entrepreneurship through acquisition, or, you know, being a business owner, is understanding, particularly if you're buying an existing business, the avatar of, am I an equity employee, which is, we'll call that a CEO, where they can work on the business and not in the business, and they have a lot of equity in the business, so they have a lot, they share in the upside, but ultimately they're still an employee. So you're at the peril of a board, for example. If you don't perform, you know, you can get fired. Or are you a business owner where you own all the upside? You might be working in the business, not on the business. And that's how we distinguish between being an entrepreneurial business owner versus a business owner. But as a business owner, you own the upside. You know, you cannot get fired. But it's understanding which of those two avatars you are. Because I see people that go down one of those two routes, and then a year, 2, 3 later, they realize, you know what? I went this equity employee route, but it's just not for me. I need to own all the upside, and I need to control my destiny. I've also seen people that do the business owner route, and they're like, you know, I just don't have that level of accountability that's required to be a business owner. I wish I'd gone the other way. And there's no substitute for actually going out and experience it. You know, the assessment cannot get you all the way there, but I think that it can get you pretty close. And I really encourage people to go deep on that. And I created a tool that I personally like to use that you can get in the book and go online and fill it out. But take your time in assessment. And then also realize, and it was really cool, I'll delve in some academic stuff. I'm a PhD student, so I'm doing some academic research on this stuff. But there's a really cool study that shows in a high level two mental states. One is a state of assessment, where you're thinking about what you want to do. And the second is a state of locomotion. So my question to you, Roger, is at which of those states, thinking or doing, to keep it simple, do you think that people feel higher levels of fulfillment in?
Probably they feel it in doing, I would imagine, but they get the most traction in thinking. I don't know. What's the study?
Exactly. You know, you got it right, which I expect no less, by the way, from someone who was able to get the GMAT waived before they got into business school. That was very impressive LinkedIn thing, by the way, that I saw on your profile.
You're so kind, man. Yeah. That's so nice of you.
But it's so smart to not have to take the GMAT. Who wants to go through that, right? I mean, you're onto something with that. You're absolutely right. It's you're in a more fulfillment, right, in a state of locomotion, so working towards a goal, than an individual is when they're thinking about it. And of course, that relationship, if you're working towards a goal that you feel a high level of purpose on, your fulfillment is higher. So when you're going through the assessment part of it, actually realize that you're going to be less happy thinking about it than you are when you're working towards it. So just realize, you know, that going through assessment is like a necessary pain, but fun stuff is ahead as you actually start to work towards that goal. And if the goal you're working towards has higher purpose, then you're going to have more satisfaction in that process than you otherwise would have. So know that that assessment can be painful, locomotion is more fun, but assessment, I think, is a necessary evil to find that purpose so that you can enjoy the locomotion part of it even more. Because let's be clear, you can learn a lot in textbooks. You can learn a lot by reading the book that I wrote, but where do you really learn? You really learn by getting your hands dirty, getting in the trenches, and getting dirty, getting muddy, et cetera, et cetera. And the real world rewards action. It doesn't always reward thinking. However, the right amount of time spent on assessment will just make that in the trenches process that much more fulfilling for you. So my advice for the 2 cents it's worth is do not skip that part. That's really where it begins.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. I think it's interesting when people try to start their day without any sort of plan or intention behind it. It's like being given a bunch of wood and hammer and nails and trying to build a house without a blueprint, you know, but that's what most people do. Like you said, the quadrant two activity that's very important is actually being intentional about figuring out what we value so that we can kind of lay that down as a guide for how we want to live our lives. But so few people do that, and they just kind of are acted upon by what goes on throughout the day. And so I'm really grateful that you shared that. I think one of the things that I do, I've got a document in Google Sheets called Designing My Life. And in that document, I have exactly what I want my life to look like. And one of the sheets in that document is just what I value most. And the reason I write those things down is because they kind of guide my decisions. I know one of the things I value is freedom. I love having freedom. I don't like the idea of having a boss telling me when I need to be at work or how long I need to be there. And so because I value freedom, it's really important to me. I'm making decisions that are conducive to me enjoying having that as a continued value, right? I think people, like you said earlier too, so people have different desires. And so it's important they kind of figure that out before they start running in a direction that may not be what they had originally hoped for. So thank you for sharing that. What's your why behind what you're doing? Obviously, you're really good at it, but why are you doing entrepreneurship through acquisition?
The whole why is harkening back to what we talked about earlier, like that 1% is that when I go all in to doing something, I always manage to meet some very interesting people that I cultivate relationships with that end up changing my life in ways that I did not think were possible. So the big criteria for me is that I just like to choose things that I can go 100% into, because when I'm all into something, I get so excited. My belief is that I get so excited about it. I have so much positive, radiant energy around it. It actually attracts, it's like a positive attractor. It attracts the right kind of people into my life. And they sense that and they want to be a part of it too. And it's not just people that work for me. It's like, you know, friends, acquaintances, vendors even, right? Like just the whole ecosystem around me becomes this awesome place that's conducive to resonant relationships. If I'm halfway in and I'm halfway out, I think people sense that too. And I don't attract the right kind of people, right? So why do I do this? I do this because of the great relationships that are going to come out of it. And Roger, that relationship could come between the two of us, right? As we're talking after this podcast, right? Who knows where it's going to go? So the reason I do this is because relationships are what drive fulfillment for me. The studies show, look at the Harvard Happiness Study, right? You know, 85 years, what drives fulfillment? Relationships with those that you're close to. So my framework is go all into something, and then the relationships that come out of it are going to be absolutely, absolutely life-changing. And they will help both you, me, help me, and it'll help the other individual live towards their ideal self. And when we are all living towards our ideal self, which, like you said, is like that Google Doc that you had, right? Like, what do you value? What's important to you? What imprint do you ultimately want to leave on the world? The more that we can do that, my belief is that the more effort I will personally put into it, and the more effort I put into it, the more good that's going to come out of it. And then you have this good, positive spiral of happiness. But for me, it comes with, I start with assessments. I figure out what is going to get me to that all-in place, and then I run towards it. And before I decided to write this book, I was like, you know, do I want to write a book? And I said, yeah, I do. Why do I want to do it? Because I'm all into it. This journey has been so good to me, right? And it's not for everybody, and it's hard work, and failure is real. But I want people to understand the message that comes out of this, because I think it can like improve some people's lives, and all the things that I spent 16 years learning doing this, I think other people will see value out of doing that. And because I'm all into it, it's been like a difficult but a fun process going through it. And it's like that with the other stuff that I engage in as well. So end of the day, it is all about the people. And I go through some fun stories in the book, which we can talk about now if you want to as well. Is, you know, I owned a really dirty business, industrial services. This is doing like the awesome work, Roger, that keeps America running. Grease trap pumping, kitchen hood exhaust cleaning, really dirty factory maintenance work for like the big companies whose names, if I told you, you would recognize, some of which were in that bio earlier, really doing dirty work. But, you know, some people might look at a business like that and be like, why? Like, why would you want to go into it? And I'm not a handy person, by the way. It's like not my mix at all. But the why for me is I'm like, this is awesome. I get to have like an opportunity to really invest in like the working class individuals that are running this business, employed in this business day to day. And I'm 100% confident I'm going to find some cool ways to, you know, give them some inspiration and some push, right? Because, you know, people are both the biggest source of pleasure and the biggest source of pain. And I think I'm going to be able to do some good, you know, for the people in this business. It's going to be hard. It's going to be painful. I'm going to get a lot of kicks in some uncomfortable parts of the body. But I took that as like my goal going into it. And because of that, I was able to do that. I was able to enjoy the journey. And let's be clear, I bought a very profitable business even before I bought it. I identified some really low-hanging fruit ways to improve it. And I dedicated, you know, I went all into my time running that and everything. So there was a lot of hard work there. The lights were always on, and I performed exceptionally well with it. But again, all of that is of secondary importance. And it wasn't really like my big intrinsic motivation to do it. I just thought it as an opportunity where I can buy this business and I can actually leave like the people in the business, or I shouldn't say leave them. I can make the people in the business better off with my presence there. And if I sell it, when I sell it, they're going to be, they'll look back and say, you know what? Yeah, that retail, some guy actually had like a positive impact on my individual life. I was confident I could do that before I bought it. And that's what drove the decision to kind of to go down it. And I think about that with everything, with the book, with the teaching, even with the, you know, very difficult academic research that I do, because academic research, I mean, you think that people, I'll tell you who's mean in life. Academics can be very mean and very critical. I mean, they hold everyone to a really high standard, which is healthy, painful to go through, but healthy. But the research that I do is all about thinking about the relationship side of things, thinking about the satisfaction side of things, thinking about what actually drives people to feel resonance and fulfillment and effectiveness in the context of people and relationships.
Oh, this is such great stuff. I wish we had hours and hours to talk. I'm going to ask you one more question for the show today. It's probably the question that fascinates me the most that I ask guests. And it is around the idea of what you would define as success or happiness. And it's interesting to me because most people have different definitions for those things. And so I'd love to hear your definitions and Maybe I'll share some of my own thoughts after. But first, let's go with success first and then happiness. How do you define success?
Yeah, so I had time to think about it. So I have both of them in the same one. And this is cool. Just for me.
I love that.
As long as I'm doing exactly what I don't want to do at the precise moment that I don't want to do it, it leads to two things. It leads, one, to me, that's where I've achieved success. Also, that's where I enjoy the journey. When I'm going to do something difficult, I make every bit of effort to put a big smile on my face, right? And just kind of force myself to be happy with it. Then, you know, I can enjoy the journey and enjoy the hard part of it a lot more than I otherwise would have. And then when I do the hard thing, elation always awaits on the back end. Two examples of it, I think, which are easy to understand. You know, cold water immersion is having its moment in popular culture right now, but it's such a great example of it. Before I jump in cold water, my mindset is here. When I'm in cold water, at least for the first, you know, 30 to 45 seconds, I'm pretty miserable. I'm smiling, but it's like a fake smile. I'm miserable. But when I come out of the cold water, boom, I'm up here. I'm in this awesome, amazing state. So that's where I find, and I'll have a much more productive day because of it. I'll be in the right mindset. We can talk about all the health benefits of cold water immersion. It's just such a net win all across the board. Another example of it is, after I sold the last business, I found this amazing endurance race. Actually, someone else mentioned it to me, but it's the world's tallest staircase in Switzerland, 11,674 stairs. So 7x number of stairs in the Empire State Building. I raced up it, right, in 2022. And I made a point that even in the most painful part of the process, you know, and I can barely breathe because stair climbing is, and you're a Utah, so I assume you're a mountain individual. Everyone in Utah kind of has like a base level of fitness just by being from Utah, in my opinion, or 99% of people. But stair climbing, I mean, it's punishing in a unique, different kind of way. But even I told myself, and like, in the lowest moment of the race, I'm just going to force myself to smile. And I do that with all the endurance events I'm in because it makes the journey more enjoyable. And I know that if I take that pain in the moment and I can enjoy it, that more elation is going to come when it's actually done. So that's my framework for it, is do exactly what you don't want to do precisely when you don't want to do it. That allows me to enjoy the journey, just knowing that I'm doing that. That's what I use to drive that smile on my face. And then I know once that hard stuff is done, which is never even that bad anyway, especially as I smile through it, then elation always awaits on the back end. So it's a simple model that works for me.
Oh, thanks for sharing. I think the difference between somebody that is unsuccessful in life and somebody that is successful is that both of them have negative feelings about a particular activity, but the successful person kind of puts those feelings aside and just does it anyway, right? When they don't want to do it, they just do it anyway. And I think that's important. It really builds grit, right? Like it's a cool thing. That's what you've centered your book around, Grit It Done. And I'd encourage any of the listeners today to go grab a copy of your book and read it. The resume that you have is insanely impressive. And so I know people can learn a ton from you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And last thing I got to say.
Please. Yeah, I would love that.
The title of that book, Grit It Done. I love Angela Duckworth. I believe in grit. I'm a big fan of it.
Jesus.
But it actually came from like two places, and the stories of this are in the book, but it's worth mentioning. One is that it was a team member of mine that did something that like inspired me to say, Marilyn, you just know how to grit it done. That was the first time I ever said it. And then I was at a forum of other business owners or CEOs where I told that story. And the individual was like, that's a really cool term. You should like go trademark that. It is like totally who you are. But it just goes to show the power of who you surround yourself with. Because that title and the book like have nothing to do with me. They have to do with the people that I've been able to surround myself with in the process. Because at the end of the day, it is not about me. It is always about others.
Wow, thanks for sharing. Really, really grateful to have you on the show, Reed. I'm excited to continue our friendship and get to know you a little bit better. And anybody that wants to go follow you or check you out, where's the best place for them to go? Is it Instagram or YouTube, or where's kind of your biggest following?
Yeah, so first and foremost, like you said, grititdone.com to buy the book, 99 cents through the end of May. And then, yeah, I'm active on LinkedIn and getting more active on Twitter as well. So those are the two best places to engage with me. Or just come to Utah and we'll go on a hike up in the Wasatch or something like that. So that's always the best.
Dude, that's what you and I need to do this summer. That'd be a lot of fun. Well, thank you again for being on the show, and thank you everyone for being here and learning from this absolutely exceptional individual. I hope you have an incredible week. We'll chat with you soon.